And welcome back to In the Moment. Steve Zwemke along with Chris Loffrey filling in for Lori Walsh this afternoon. U.S. Senator Mike Rounds again spent time with constituents Tuesday afternoon at Grand Living on Lake Lorain in Sioux Falls. He answered questions on issues ranging from water, Social Security, Medicare, Russian interference in the 2016 election, the Electoral College, border security, and immigration. Rounds was also asked about the budget process on Capitol Hill.
Mark Regional Water, thank you for your championing this project. Most people here that are drinking coffee and water probably don't realize it, but 55% of Sioux Falls' water supply comes from Lewis and Clark, and both your work as governor and now as senator, you've been a true champion, so thank you. Recently, the administration only proposed $100,000 for Lewis and Clark in the FY19 budget. You and the rest of the tri-state senators work to increase that funding to an additional $99.5 million. So I want to thank you for your behind-the-scenes work on that. My question is regarding the budget, which I know drives you crazy. Instead of an omnibus bill, what are the odds of kind of returning to normal order of business this year and passing a budget on time, or at least parts of the budget, mainly the energy and water appropriations bill?
Yeah, thanks, Trey. And let me lay it out. First of all, you got to do, Washington's different than the rest of the country. In Washington, you do a budget. And in this case, we did a two-year budget for the first time, which really helped us. But then you have the appropriations bill, and that's what they call the omnibus. The omnibus is when they would take all 12 appropriation bills, add them all together, and then run it at you when it was to the point where everything was going to expire. And that was last time it was a 2009-page bill. We got it on a Tuesday, and we expected to vote on it on a Thursday. And it didn't give us enough time to really go through and look at everything inside of it. Because unlike South Dakota legislature, where things can't get changed behind the scenes, it's got to be done within committee settings and publicly done. In Washington, they can have manager's packages where they happen and nobody basically sees it. So what we've told them, and this is what we're doing right now, for the first time since about 2001, and in fact, we're actually doing the 12 appropriation bills. We're doing them one or two or three at a time. And we've already got, right now, I think we've got seven of them completed now coming through the Senate. And the House has done the same thing. So what we're doing is we're breaking them down. And they're supposed to be done by October 1st. It's been probably 30 years since that's happened. What we're doing is saying we're going to get back to what they call regular order. And it's the appropriations, but you take them one at a time, you work your way through them, and you can negotiate each one. Now, some we're doing two at a time because the Democrats might have one particular section that they're really interested in making sure it goes through. Republicans might have one on the other side that they're really interested in making it go through. So we're putting the two of those together then and working them together that way. So there's some trust being established. But we're well on our way. We've passed the ones who have gone through committee, and they're now on the floor. We've passed them out. Matter of fact, this last week we just passed out a package of three more of them. So we're actually on our way to getting them done. It's one of the reasons why a group of us said we needed to stay here in August is because we wanted to see the appropriations process actually work. I give a lot of credit to the new chairman in appropriations, Richard Shelby, and to Patrick Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont, because the two of them are working very well together and they're committed to trying to bring us back to doing it the way it was supposed to be done in the first place.
Many are concerned about Social Security insurance and Medicare. Round says the best way to prevent Social Security and Medicare from becoming solvent is by managing them. He used the South Dakota retirement system as an example in how it incorporates bonds and investments instead of leaving the funds untouched.
Social Security, people say, don't you touch my Social Security because I want that. Well, Congress has listened, and they've taken it offline, and they haven't touched it now in 35 years, and that's not working. It has to be managed. It has to be made as efficient as possible, and it's got to keep up to date. So what about new payments coming in? There haven't been any. Why? Because it's never been upgraded based upon the style of incomes coming in and so forth. So payments aren't going up and going into the system because they've never updated it. At the same time, they haven't recognized the fact that people are living longer, therefore they're paying out more at a faster rate. So here's what we're recommending. We think Congress should take back and take responsibility for actually managing Social Security again, just like they should start managing Medicare again, where they're actively involved with committees whose job it is, to Republicans and Democrats alike, to look at what they can do to make sure that we're properly funding and also properly managing Social Security and Medicare. Because the way we're doing it now, we can see it coming. Medicare is going broke by the year 2025. The Hospital Insurance Trust Fund will be basically broke by the year 2025 if we don't do something. But it's not online today. Now, and here's part of the challenge on this. Congress has said, well, if we touch it, people are going to be mad at us. My suggestion is it's coming pretty quick. People are going to be real mad at us if we don't touch it and start doing something about it. And so I'm going to continue to push. I think we should have select committees that actually start working on making recommendations to strengthen Medicare and Social Security. Now, some people will say, oh, they're going to cut it. I'm not talking about cutting it. I'm talking about managing it, making it as efficient as possible, and making it survive for the long term. That's our goal. So you're right. We've got problems coming up with it. But we're far enough out to where we can fix it.
Rount says if Congress doesn't act, Social Security will disappear by 2036. The conversation turns to guns.
Would you ever support a bill that bans the sale of semi-automatic weapons such as AR-15s and AK-47s?
No, I won't.
Why not?
Let me share with you. It's one thing to say that you're going to ban a particular weapon, but right now you've got to have a license to have them if they are an automatic weapon. But a semi-automatic weapon is different. And a semi-automatic weapon is one that is used by a huge amount of law-abiding citizens on a regular basis. I got a little Winchester Model 6122 that was built in 1943. It's a pump that holds 21 short 22s. They call them shorts. And that one's been around forever. So what's the difference between one in which you can hold 21 in a magazine, which is not even, you can't even take it off the gun, a three-shot automatic shotgun, which can fire it as fast as you can pull the trigger. And then the challenge we've got is we've made it so that you have to have a special license to have automatic weapons. But what we haven't done was to say, we're going to go so far as to start trying to select which other style of guns, because they say automatic rifle 15 or AR. And by the way, that was not what it meant in the first place. That was just the name of the model of the gun. But so no, I would not do that, but I would do everything I can to make darn sure that any type of a weapon can be kept out of the hands of somebody who has no business having a weapon, which are the folks that have committed crimes in the past or who have been convicted of domestic abuse and who have been restricted from using those guns today. That, to me, is good policy. But simply saying that we're going to restrict a gun because it can fire fast, I would agree that the bump stocks, remember the bump stocks that were used in Nevada? That's one right now. I would agree that that one's got to go away because it turns a gun into an automatic weapon. And you should have to have a special license if you're going to use that. And so I'm fully supportive of, if it's going to be an automatic, no. We've already got laws in the books that say automatic light weapons are not allowed without a special firearms license issued by the federal government. But I wouldn't go so far as to say, no, we're going to start picking and choosing which semi-automatic, you've got to pull the trigger each time as to what we're going to. I think we're going down going down the wrong hole there.
Border security is also a point of concern. Senator Rounds discusses border security and immigration in response to comments from a gentleman who immigrated from South Sudan.
The reason I came here because of terrorism and Islamic fundamentals and all this stuff that push, destroy the country and let us, scattered all over the world. And now, my question to you is about the illegal immigrant coming from Mexico. My worries about this, I'm against it, although I'm a refugee, but straight refugees who came through the process is the right refugee. The one that will be coming through Mexico, you don't know who's coming from there. Especially I'm worried about the Middle Easterns, where, they went down to Africa and messed up Africa and now to Russia, Europe. And they might try to come to the United States through Mexico because it's a loophole. You don't know people that are making. There are all kind of gangs, all kind of terrorists and all this stuff. And my being to United States for over 20 years, I know some of the states like California and all this stuff, they welcome them and, you know, I know they are good people. How can you tell? You don't do any background check if he has been in the military, if he came from. I also want to give you this. I'm the only South Dakotan immigrant who went out to Iraq and participated in with the Navy SEAL driving out the ISIS from Mosul. I got hurt, rolled over, broke my back and my neck. Just got better a month ago. I was in a hospital for 8 months. So I don't find many South Dakotan there, but there are a few.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And I just want you to be strong in the war. The defense is working. I came from Africa. I saw in Israel where the Palestinians, the bad guys, they want to get there, they can. I think this is just some people are playing politics, but at the end, I'm concerned. This is my life, and this is our life here. If one of the bad guys make it through, he can come to South Dakota. With the guns we buy, they can come and kill us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Let me share with you a little bit, because it's a good lead, and I'll just take a second. But there was a group of us that tried to work together to find a way to, number one, fund the border security, not just on the southern border, but on the northern border as well, because we have folks that are trafficking on both sides of us. They're actually coming in from Canada as well. And there is probably, based upon the information we've received from some of our Homeland Security experts, there's about 750 miles of actual physical structure or wall that needs to be done. But about 700 miles of it's already been completed over the years. So there's about 50 miles that needs to be done. And the rest of it's basically designed, should be done with other types of surveillance, electronic surveillance and so forth. The idea is to stop those people who intentionally are trying to cross the border for illicit purposes. The other part of this is we funded a bill. We actually proposed to the White House. There was a group of 8 Republicans and 8 Democrats came together in February. And we proposed a bill that would put $25 billion in, that's $2.5 billion per year for 10 years, just as the president requested. And then to take care of the kids that were deferred action, the DACA kids. These are kids that are actually in college here now. They came in through no fault of their own. Their parents brought them in, but they don't have any papers. They're not documented, okay? So they're not legally supposed to be here. Those kids are going to college here. A lot of them are actually in military service here right now, serving in the military. We suggested, the president indicated that there should be a way to fix that. So what we proposed was, let's do the DACA. We'll fix it for these, I think it's like 1.8 million that we started out with. Do the 25 billion over 10 years, but then also restrict these kids so that while they sat in this position where they were considered they'd have legal status, so they wouldn't be deported, but they wouldn't be citizens either. They have to apply for citizenship years from now. It probably after about 8 years, they could then apply. But during that time period, they would not be allowed to represent or to sponsor their parents because their parents came here illegally and brought them illegally. And we weren't gonna try to give them benefits that other people who are waiting in line would have gotten. We got 54 votes on the floor of the Senate for that bill. That's the most of any bill that's been proposed so far. And we did that without the support of Republican leadership and without the support of the White House. And so we think that's still a step in the right direction. Senator Angus King and I did that together. We were the sponsors, but we had lots of people that worked on it. We were just the two that they selected to be the primes on the bill. And so I think there's a way to fix the immigration, to take care of the short-term one. And the long-term, what we need is a legal immigration system that works for us. And we do need to have a legal immigration system in the country. The one that we've got right now is not working the way that it should because it's not based so much on merit or on a person's desire to work here in the United States as much as it is it's connected to who is in the country on what they call familial relationships or family relationships that are extended. We just think we need to refocus that, and in doing so, I think we could get support for an immigration system that would actually work.